Law and Ordeals returns to you once again, scanning through the strange and stupid in suburban Milwaukee police reports. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, sports director with Lake Country Publications and now newspapers. We've got a fiery getaway on the docket today. We've got a bit of mistaken identity when it comes to a potential drowning victim. And we also, we have some interesting development with gummy bears and, one of the biggest stories we've had on our website in quite some time. So, there's a lot of interesting stuff.
Here we go. Starting, of course, in our beloved Waukesha. Waukesha.
Love it.
This is a false alarm of the week.
Yes, here. The false alarm of the week.
A mother and daughter argued at 7 p.m. June 18th at the Golden Corral about the daughter's nose piercing, prompting a police response. The daughter returned to Milwaukee with her mother.
Now, who hasn't been in a family situation where a piercing or a tattoo or some sort of act of rebellion has caused a dispute of some sort? And I feel like the Golden Corral is the perfect place for this to happen.
Like a family fight, like yes. In public?
Yes. I know. You have some experience with this.
Oh, yeah. I had my nose pierced when I was in college, so like a while ago.
let's not get specific on the date.
It was a while ago, and I did it, came home, and my mom just looked at me, and she was like, "You are disgusting.
You are disgusting." That's extremely pointed. That is extremely pointed. It's just a little stud of a, you know, diamond something or other, right?
Tiny. And my sister actually has, like, a couple ear piercings, and then, like, she has her nose pierced, and she just got a tattoo. Which my mom, I won't say exactly, because my mom listens. Hi, Mom.
Hey!
She was not happy about this tattoo.
Wow. You know, that stigma, I feel like that stigma was in play when I was in high school and college.
Yeah.
Roughly the same time you were in high school and college. I don't know if it is anymore.
Yeah, because my sister's 23, we should note. She's definitely younger.
But I think the piercing tattoo thing is no longer seen as like a rebellion or a dirty thing to do. I think a lot of people have them now.
No, I know. Yeah, my other sister was saying one of her coworkers at an architecture firm has like sleeve tattoos.
Oh wow, yeah. My neighbor as well, who is one of the nicest dudes I know, lets me borrow his lawnmower all the time because mine is destroyed. But I see the sleeve tattoo a lot. An interesting. We've sort of moved past the tattoo taboo, I guess you would call it.
Not my parents and not this mom in Waukesha.
Apparently not, no. A 70-year-old man, we're still in Waukesha, a 70-year-old Waukesha man stabbed in his left shoulder after he offered a local woman $2 in quarters as payment in a sex-for-pay transaction turned violent. The Prostitution Act Gone Bad happened June 11th in Pleasant Avenue, according to Waukesha County court records. The wound was not life-threatening. This is the story that did extremely well on our website. It is a very bizarre story. I encourage you to go read it at WaukeshaNow.com. It is kind of sad. It's not as fun to make fun of, other than you get through the headline of, you know, trying to pay for an act of prostitution $2 in quarters, which led to a whole series of bad circumstances, but a very bizarre case going on in Waukesha.
Yeah, my personal opinion, we talked about, I think you deserved it.
Yeah, that's an interesting move.
It's not life-threatening. Like, I wouldn't want him to die for something
no, of course
like
not.
This, but like, deserved.
It is a very sad, strange story.
He had it coming.
Yeah. Let's move a little bit further west, go to Pewaukee.
This one's not quite so serious. Burnt toaster pastry reportedly set off a fire alarm at about 7:33 a.m. on June 21st at WCTC. Staff at the school reset the alarm and vented the building.
The burnt toaster pastry has a very near and dear place in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
When I was roughly 11 years old, my sister put a Pop-Tart in the microwave. The Pop-Tart was still in its metallic casing. It did start on fire. So when she saw it in the microwave, I was in the basement. It was just us, parents not home. She freaks out and starts screaming at the top of her lungs, "Fire, fire, fire, fire." So, you know, I call 911. She runs to the neighbor. The fire department shows up. At some point, I realize this is not that big a deal. It's just smoking. You know, like, put it out with a little mini fire extinguisher you keep in a kitchen. And then the firemen came, and I wanted to project to them, this is my 11-year-old brain working,
oh my gosh,
that, you know what, this isn't a big deal. Everybody can just go home, which of course you know now. I mean, they're just going to check it out and be safe, but yeah. I didn't want people making a big deal of it. So I remember sitting on the recliner in the living room adjacent to the kitchen watching TV while the fire, you know, changing the channel, watching TV while the firemen were in my kitchen trying to project that, hey, it's no big deal.
Oh my God.
And of course we had neighbors who were whispering amongst themselves, they're too young to be home by themselves. And
was it your older sister or younger?
My younger sister, yeah. Bless her heart. She's probably not listening. Hi, Nikki, if you are. But my friend Kyle, bless his heart, Kyle Groom, great buddy of mine in high school, or not high school, but middle school, high school as well. He biked from his house a half mile away with a little fire extinguisher, thinking he was going to help save the day, because I'm thinking, not knowing what to do, called him. He biked his half mile because his parents weren't home with a fire extinguisher to try to save the day. Kyle Grube, you're the man. Thanks for that.
He is the man. Now, can I share my
You have a pastry story too.
Yeah, I was probably also 11, staying at home
All right. By
myself. Maybe, I wonder if that still happens. Do people freak out? I mean, 11-year-olds are...
You see smoke and you're like, this is it. This is the moment.
Yeah.
This is the biggest moment of my life.
I might have been 12, whatever.
Okay.
My mom was not home and we had the fancy toaster pastries, the ones with like the icing.
Yes. And drizzle, of course.
Which we never had. We would never get this. My mom was
all right.
More of a health nut. And
okay.
I put it in the toaster oven, let it go, forgot about it, turned around and it had turned into a charcoal, charcoal in the toaster oven.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Which I, had my wits about me sort of, and like filled a tiny juice cup of water and tossed it on there.
Oh boy.
And you're like,
did that do the trick?
It was fine, but you're okay. Like, that was probably pretty stupid because it was electrical appliance
right.
that I threw water.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
And
as a kid, you don't even know like what's baking soda, what's water or anything like that.
God.
Not that that is in play here. It's not a grease fire, but still.
Right. It was probably fine, but it was like totally smoking, completely black. I remember taking the toaster oven outside and being like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Something about pastries. We're just not good at pastries, I guess. So you can add that to the list of things we're bad at.
Sugar's pretty flammable. Well, and so is foil in a microwave.
That's true. Probably a bad idea in general. In Franklin, police raided two tobacco stores searching for marijuana-laced gummy bears and other drug-related paraphernalia. This was on June 15th. Search warrants were issued, potentially having possession of these items containing cannabidiol, CBD, an active ingredient in cannabis or marijuana. CBD gummies were recovered from the place, this Tobacco Express, along with other CBD oils.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that Haribo gummy bears are building something down in the southern part of Wisconsin and Kenosha or whatever. Now, I can tell you right now, you don't need to load up marijuana in those things. They're addictive all by themselves. I'm going to be shoving those things in my mouth, whether or not there's cannabis in them. People, just enjoy the gummies for what they are.
Gummies are good, man.
Gummies are good, man. You know, and when you have them laced in gummy bears, don't you just want more gummies? Aren't you just going to want more snack food?
Gummy
like gummy, gummy,
are
gummy,
really
gummy.
Good. That's like an old thing that I don't eat that much anymore. But
yeah,
they're good.
Tremendous. They're the worst thing in the world for you, and they're so good.
Yeah. I just got back from California and people talk about, they're like, oh, the marijuana gummy bears. I'm like,
are you
it's
serious?
So popular, apparently.
Really?
See, I know, I'm like, oh, breaking news, marijuana gummy bears
yeah,
are really huge.
That's awesome.
Yeah, who knew?
Their gummies were also, when Ryan Braun was, took a suspension for steroids, it was because there was supposedly gummies that he had taken that had the steroids in them. I don't know how any of that science works, but apparently this is a pretty good distribution system for other drugs.
Interesting.
Gummy bears stepping up their game.
We should say they have not been charged yet.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Yes.
This is a breaking
ongoing,
unfolding.
Ongoing law and ordeal.
I know. Oh, Franklin.
Stay in Franklin. We got more from Franklin.
I know. Franklin, you know, they don't get represented enough, I don't think. So, police responded to a vehicle fire on South Ryan Green Court at 9:15 p.m. June 18th. The vehicle started on fire as the owner was driving into the parking lot after returning from a trip. The owner drove out of the parking lot, parked the vehicle on the street, and removed all his personal belongings from it before it became fully engulfed. The 2002 Nissan Sentra had 213,000 miles on it, and it was totaled.
Oh my
it's
goodness.
Unknown how the fire started.
I've always said about my car, I plan on driving it into the ground is the expression I use. But really, I should just say, I plan on driving it until it bursts into flames.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, credit to that Nissan Sentra. 213,000 miles.
Yeah.
It did its job. It went out in a blaze of glory. That's
sure.
a nice car. Now, would you get all your belongings out of it as it's burning down? I don't know if I would do that. But hey, congrats, you know, it worked out. But oof,
yeah,
that's a
I
risk.
Know. pretty risky. I think it is cool. He's like, oh my God, I'm going to take it away from these other cars.
Oh yeah.
In the parking lot and take all my things out. Although it says he was coming back from a trip, so maybe he had a lot more stuff than you normally would have.
Right, but. Right. It's pretty scary when you're driving in a car, somewhere in front of you starts on, I don't know if it starts on fire, but like the tire goes out or something, you see smoke coming up and it's like, is that car going to burst into flames in a massive explosion? Am I, you know, like, yeah. Am I screwed here?
Yeah.
That's sort of a thought that has crossed my mind in recent days.
Yeah,
yeah, I would be too. Let's go up north. Port Washington, a citizen living on West 2nd Avenue reported that they heard loud pounding and thumping on the door at her residence. She was not expecting anyone. It was found the door was blowing in the wind, causing the noise. The caller was notified and the door was secured.
It was a ghost.
It was a ghost. Dang right. These are things that happen to people all the time. And I'm like, obviously we can kind of make fun of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can kind of understand how that could happen. You hear noise coming from your basement. What are you supposed to think?
Yeah, 3:15 a.m.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I might be a little nervous to go check it.
Yeah. My thought always is when I hear strange noises, I'm like, if somebody's trying to get into my house, they're not making a lot of noise. And if they make that noise at the door, they're not making it again and again and again, you know, which is presumably there's some repetitive noise making there. But you know, you never know. I don't want to go check out and find out, oh, it's a dude and I'm being robbed. He's got a gun. You know, like, I don't want to find that out.
Yeah, someone terrorizing you?
Yeah, no doubt.
That's where the brain goes, at 3:15 in the morning.
No, that is totally true. And I have so many stories about waking up in the middle of the night and thinking weird, disoriented things.
Crazy night brain.
Yes, yes, no doubt. Yep. We're going to close it down in Pewaukee.
Oh my God, okay.
You got crazy night brain. We should really stop recording these at 3 in the morning, Lainey.
Yeah. A Pewaukee couple reportedly mistook a swimmer near a buoy for a drowning victim and reported it to police on June 4th. The couple realized their mistake after moving closer to check and found the swimmer was not in any distress.
I guess it's hard to know exactly what drowning looks like in terms of, you know.
I don't want to know what it looks like.
Well, have you ever seen those videos where you go to there's a public pool, like, can you spot the drowning victim before the lifeguard does?
Oh.
And you see, like, 2 seconds and it's like, what? Everybody looks fine. And you see everybody stop because the lifeguard has blown their whistle and they jump in and they go after this kid. And you have no idea. Like, how do they spot these people?
No idea.
I mean, what's the difference between gesturing for help and just, like, you know, swimming along? And, like, I'm not drowning. I'm just swimming. So I don't know. I guess this is a tough call. I can see why people would be a little concerned.
I guess, you know, at least they were erring on the safe side.
Yes. At first when I read this, I thought they'd mistaken the buoy for the drowning victim, which I thought would be kind of funny. But no, this is a swimmer near the buoy. So that's not so bad.
Maybe holler out to him.
Yeah. Hey, are you drowning? I'm like, no, I'm good.
Just doing some laps.
Move along.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to Law and Ordeals once again. Lainey, I never introduced you at the top of the podcast.
Oh my God.
Tell us who you are now.
People know me by now.
They should. Your mom knows you. She's our most dedicated listener.
Yeah, she is. Hi, Mom. I'm Lainey Seiler, Specialty Media Manager.
And I'm J.R. Radcliffe, Sports Director for Lake Country and Now Newspapers. We'll be back in a couple weeks bringing you the strange, the stupid Milwaukee Suburban Police Reports. Bye, everybody.
Bye.